is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole, talking to Jeremy Bricker, who's written a whole lot on the climate crisis and how people can, in fact, form movements that could successfully deal with it. I think that's coming, and it can come soon. Jeremy, I think we want to validate your observation of the multitude of movements that in so many areas are emulating and creating programs that resemble the programs and ideas envisioned within the Green New Deal. There really is a greater program that people can fit into and integrate themselves and begin gaining commitments, not just to the individual issue that the program addresses or the demand or the struggle addresses, but in fact the larger vision when all the programs that meet to coalesce. But we can't talk about all of them, but I hope that you maybe give us some examples of what cities are doing. Some of them cities in the red states are doing that are so promising as to climate change itself.
So let me just give out of scores and scores of examples. In fact, there are 600 local governments across the United States that have adopted climate action plans. We're setting greenhouse gas reduction targets. Not all of them are actually implementing very much, but that gives you some sense of at least how widespread the concern is at a city level. And I can give some examples where there are serious attempts to at least begin implementing the Green New Deal from below type programs. So you mentioned Massachusetts and the community choice aggregation, which is possible in a number of states. I think California is the one that is farthest ahead, but the Massachusetts example that I'm most familiar with is a town called Swampscott, Massachusetts, which launched a community choice aggregation program called Swampscott Community Power. And what these community choice aggregation programs do is allow the residents of a city to bargain collectively with the power companies. They can bargain for better rates, but they can also bargain for cleaner electricity. And that's what the people in Swampscott did. It's a little town. But in the first year of its program, it reduced the carbon footprint of the town by 9,700 tons of carbon dioxide, which would be the equivalent of removing 2,000 passenger cars from the roads. And that's just one city and one step. Also, one of my favorite examples is from the town of Somerset, Massachusetts, which was the home to the Brayton Point coal-fired power plant, which was shut down after a long campaign by community members and clean energy folks. And I actually went to the community college there while they were struggling over whether to close the plant and gave a talk about what we often refer to as just transition. What can you do to provide an alternative for the workers who are in a fossil fuel plant, like a power plant that's going to be closed down, and also for the community, which is going to lose a major taxpayer and a major community institution. And I don't know if my talk had any impact, probably not, but whatever led to it, the town decided, first of all, it was decided to shut the plant down, but instead of just saying, well, there's going to be all kinds of bad consequences and there's nothing we can do about it, instead the town conducted a visioning process for town residents that they called Reimagining Brayton Point. And they discussed and they brought in designers and planners and experts of various kinds to figure out what could they do with this site. And then they had a major cleanup. And the site is now being redeveloped as a center for logistics, manufacturing, and support for offshore wind, which is also something that, since I was out there, has been developing very fast on the Massachusetts coast. So that is another example, and this is very much oriented both toward job creation and toward the drive to close the coal-fired power plant was very much driven by the health impacts that it was having on poor neighborhoods in the Brayton Point area. So that's one. And let me just add one more, although, as I say, there are scores, if not hundreds, and I hope there's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds before too long. But City of Portland decided...
I was going to mention that, you know, KBOO is a Portland station, Jeremy.
Oh, okay.
Probably most of our listeners were involved in that struggle for the tax on big companies to create our own, you know, in the city, solar installations as well as insulation of homes. It's a pretty large program.
Right. Portland's program is becoming a national model and inspiration for Green New Deal from below type programs. The Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund is applying exactly Green New Deal type principles to the climate protection and economic development in Portland. And first of all, the tax on big retailers like Walmart, the idea that we're going to tax the wealthy corporations and investments in order to do the things we need to do is a core idea of the Green New Deal. And Portland has proved that you don't have to wait for the federal government to do it. You can start doing it locally. And then the fund, as I'm sure most of our listeners there know, is specifically oriented towards creating jobs for underserved communities and both energy efficiency and also conservation and energy efficiency, so we can use less energy at the same time that we're producing it through solar panels on rooftops and other forms of renewable energy. So the Portland program is actually a nationally recognized example of the Green New Deal from below, and one that I hope will catch on in a lot of other places.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was also wonderful partly because the Sierra Club and 350 PDX that ran it enlisted so many volunteers to put it on the ballot. It was a ballot initiative, of course. In fact, it was so popular that the two big investor-owned utilities that serve Portland, Pacific Power and PGE, not to be confused with California's PG&E that has its $32 billion worth of damages from their grid, they had to allow it. They've been extremely, though, effective in this state in keeping complete control over the installation of rooftop solar or small other kinds of neighborhood solar, community solar. All of them are still required to. The legislation is very bad, and they've won it, and they're very powerful in the state, and unfortunately powerful in our city council, but we showed them what we could do, it seems to me. And there are now people in Portland talking about building out our own power supply, very cheap and reliable, especially in emergencies. That's another thing that's interesting that's happening. Jeremy, let's in fact do a few more examples. Now, you're one of the co-founders of the Labor Network for Sustainability. I know you followed closely and made great efforts to enlist whole unions in your network or other networks that are of the energy democracy movement has begun. Tell us, not just unionized workers, well, there's a whole set of efforts by workers. Some, why don't you tell us about that, and then we can conclude.
Well, the labor movement, as your listeners probably know, has been kind of divided on climate issues, and there have been strong individuals and unions and groups advocating for climate protection, both because we need it as a society and because there are plenty of good jobs that are going to be created by climate protection. But there's also a significant sector of organized labor that has portrayed climate protection policy as a threat to existing jobs or potential jobs, and that division is ongoing throughout much of the labor movement. But there are many unions that have been strongly advocating for climate protection and engaging in their own Green New Deal from below type programs to start implementing climate protection on their own. So, for example, the Service Employees Union, SEIU, starting in New York and then spreading to other places, has been extremely active in training and empowering building maintenance workers to combat the tremendous waste of energy through fossil fuel burning that has gone on in New York City. The primary, the largest source of greenhouse gases is buildings, because you got all those high buildings and you've got a lot of public transit, so that reduces the transportation share of greenhouse gases, but all those buildings increase the share of buildings. And so reducing greenhouse gas emissions from buildings is a crucial part of climate protection in New York City, also other places as well, but New York SEIU was a pioneer in this. So what they did was, first of all, encourage employers to do the kinds of things you need to do to reduce emissions from a building in terms of better heating equipment and cooling equipment and better insulation and fixing of windows, weatherization, all that kind of thing. But then when they had the new equipment and technologies, they said, you know, these are only as good as the people who manage them. If we have fancy computerized thermostatic systems to control a building, and we're talking about buildings that are, you know, 50, 100 stories high, huge operations with huge fuel consumption. It doesn't do that much good to have a fancy thermostat if we don't have people who know how to operate it. So what they did was start creating training programs for, and they're actually bargained for these in the union contracts, for programs. The first one was called 1,000 Green Supers, that you would have train 1,000 SEIU building maintenance workers in how to manage their buildings in a energy-efficient, climate-friendly way. And then it's gone on to become just a regular part of union training and the training for the building services workers throughout New York and now throughout that whole region. So that's had major impact on reducing fossil fuel emissions from buildings initiated by SEIU. Many of your listeners are probably familiar with Recology, which started in the San Francisco area and is now spread through a lot of the West Coast. It is a worker-owned co-op that is devoted to the zero-waste system of getting rid of our garbage and trash. And Recology is, it's a unionized recycling co-op. It was largely initiated by the Teamsters, and it services over 700,000 residences in the Bay Area and over 100,000 commercial customers in California. And I see from my notes here that it includes Oregon and Washington also. And it has been a significant way of reducing pollution, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and creating jobs, which are very substantial proportion, go to people who have been low income, discriminated against minorities, African American and others. So it really embodies the jobs and justice as well as the environmental and climate dimensions of the Green New Deal. And let me also mention the work of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW. There are activities going on for clean energy in many parts of the country, spearheaded by IBEW. The one that I'm most familiar with is Local 11, which is in Los Angeles, which has been actually working for years on developing a training program for electrical workers, for electricians, that is designed to train them for energy efficiency programs. And they actually created a building. They have a partnership on these efforts, the training efforts, with their contractors, and they created the first Net Zero Plus Electrical Training Institute, which is a building that actually, it's not only net zero, it's not only carbon emissions free, but it actually produces more electricity than it uses, and the rest of it goes out and is used for other purposes. They took an existing building and retrofitted it, and they used that to train electricians and apprentice electricians in the Los Angeles area to be able to go in and retrofit buildings with a wide range of different energy technologies, including electrical vehicle charging, battery storage, microgrids, energy dashboards, lighting, and other programs that turn buildings that are producing vast amounts of greenhouse gases into ones that are actually neutral or even producing more energy than they use.
One of my reading your article, one of my favorite examples, one of the examples I remember best, is the railroad workers who on their own got together and developed plans for and methods for reducing, my guess is, the diesel fuels and all the rest of the problems that railroad yards create in cities. A real problem, actually, in Portland, Oregon, that has a big yard on the east side commercial district. Right. Jeremy, you get the last word, and then we're going to sign off.
Thanks very much for having this conversation and having me on for it. As I said, Portland is definitely inspiring other places around the country with its programs, and there's a long way to go even in Portland, but the way we're going shows that it can actually be both a way to achieve climate safety, a way to increase the justice of our communities, and a way to create a whole lot of jobs for people who need jobs. And I think those are the core themes of the Green New Deal, and the fact that you in Portland and other people around the country are doing it even before we get any significant support from the federal government through a Green New Deal from below is something that we may well look back on the way we look back at popular participation in the original New Deal and say this was not just a federal government plan, but this was a huge movement in which millions and millions of people participated, and that's why it was able to make a transformation that was so desperately needed.
Yeah, you can be sure that Portland folks will be part of that great movement that occurs. And in fact, even in Portland, there are so many other, even with PGE, Pacific Power, and the lumber industry so important in the state and so radically conservative of their profits. It seems to me they're being challenged in many ways. And when the time comes and people awake, Portland certainly will be a hotbed of resistance as well as advance and towards, in fact, a clean, green, democratic, and sustainable economy. Jeremy Brecker, thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Nice to be with you, and very great to have this conversation with you and your listeners.